Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Finally, Matthew Stafford has been part of a playoff win. I'm really happy for him. Matthew's been around for a decade plus in the NFL, and he's been shouldered with a lot of Detroit's more recent postseason failures. Three games, no wins, a drought that continues on and on. And as we always say about quarterbacks, and by we, I mean me, quarterbacks get far too much of the credit, and they also absorb far too much of the blame. And for once, Matthew Stafford is part of a playoff win in which he played exceptionally well. The Rams, all of them, front to back, left to right, start to finish, dominant. This team, full of playmakers on both sides of the ball, showed up in a way that's worthy of their roster, if that makes sense. On paper, this is a star-studded football team, worthy of LA, right? Worthy of Hollywood. But they haven't always played that way. And before the game, I wondered if they would be able to establish the line of scrimmage. Boy, they did that and then some. In the first half, breaking through and getting to Kyler Murray, a couple of sacks, a brutal sequence for Kyler in the end zone where he flips a ball up and out in an attempt to avoid a safety, and instead it turns into a pick six. That was on the pressure and the defense of the Rams. And then on the other side, I'll use the word that Peyton Manning used. The run game of the Rams was gashing the Cardinals. I love that word. Gashing. It sounds so violent. But that's exactly what the Rams were doing. And so we saw the Rams not only jump out to a big lead, but protect that lead against the Cardinals. No rally by Arizona like we saw with the San Francisco 49ers in Week 18. And I feel better about the Rams after watching what they did in this playoff game at home. I also love the atmosphere at SoFi Stadium. It's the football version of the Staples Center. The stars are out tonight, right? So coming up in an hour at midnight Pacific time, we will welcome our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA, who was on the field pregame and who covered Rams and Cardinals. And between now and then, we'll get the reaction from not just the Rams locker room, but the Cardinals as well. As you can imagine, extremely disappointing. I'm surprised at how lopsided this game was because it was a battle between two familiar foes, two teams that know each other exceedingly well, two teams that have already played twice this season because they're members of the same division. So I'm surprised by that. There was no intimidation factor here, but I do agree with Cliff Kingsbury when he says that experience plays a major role. Now, there were members of the team on both sides who had been in playoff games before. For instance, J.J. Watt. Too bad they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins. He'd been in a playoff game before. But sparing playoff experience. Chandler Jones, of course, has been in the postseason before. But as a group, this team, not having a ton of postseason experience. That was the first time Cliff Kingsbury's coached in the NFL playoffs. and obviously first snaps for Kyler Murray. It's all good experience. Even a game in which the Cardinals played as crappy as this, or if you want to, we could look at the other teams as well, the Eagles, how bad they played. It's all good experience. There's no such thing as bad postseason experience. There can be a bad postseason experience, but you catch my drift? There's no such thing as bad postseason experience. It's all part of the process. No, I'm not going to say it. That phrase annoys me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And boy, do we have some goodies for you on our social media. We were busy over the course of the last, gosh, 4 or 5 days, couple of weeks. We've been trying to work more and more on our YouTube channel. We've been trying to beef up our presence on our various social media sites. And so we're proud of what we've done. I don't know whether or not our YouTube videos are interesting. Producer James, do you think they're interesting? You're the YouTube guru. Are they interesting?
I do. I definitely think they're interesting. I think they show a side that you wouldn't hear on the air, so that's why I think they're interesting.
Okay, well, I don't think I'm very interesting, but I think you're great and interesting, so yay. So we've got a brand new video up on our YouTube channel. Don't call them resolutions. We're calling them goals for 2022. And so we had a chance to share it for the first time in the last 24 hours. And I know a lot of you are getting a kick out of it. Yes, I am a spaz. I sent it to my mom and I think I wrote something along the lines of I'm a weirdo or I'm still a weirdo or something like that. By the way, you guys, my mother now knows how to video call me. I think it was a mistake to introduce her to video calling on our phones because she won't stop. She attempted to video call me in the final 2 minutes of Niners Cowboys on Sunday. Mom, what are you doing? I'm busy. You know I'm working right now.
Was she calling you because of the Niners Cowboys
no,
game?
She was calling to say hello. I know you're busy, but I just wanted to say hi. Okay, Mom. And so all of a sudden now, Mom is all about video calling. For instance, on Monday afternoon, now that was Sunday. On Monday afternoon, as I'm waking up to walk the dog, didn't sleep well on Monday. I'm dreaming about football, I think. And so I go out to walk the dog, and I'm barely half awake. My coffee is just kicking in. Mom's video calling. We can still just use voice calling, Mom. We don't have to video call every single time. I don't know if Samsung Galaxy has a name for it. So in other words, iPhones, you FaceTime. If you both have Samsung Galaxies, which Mom and I do, I don't know what it's called. It's the video option. And so all of a sudden now Mom is super excited. And I'll pick up the phone and this is Mom. James can see me. You can't see me. So I have to describe what she's doing. She's waving so fast. Like, hi.
She's so excited she can see. I mean, there's no coming back from that now. Do you remember the first time you ever like FaceTimed or video messaged someone? Probably like 10, 15 years ago now at this point.
Yeah.
But so there's no coming back from that.
Mom is very excited. That's my fault. I taught her how to do it on Saturday because I wanted her to see Penny, the dog. And also I had anticipated showing her my new refrigerator. Which didn't happen. So I still have to update you on that story. That's crazy, you guys. In fact, I'm hoping somebody in our audience has had some insight or experience that they can share with me about how I got ghosted by the refrigerator delivery people, like literally ghosted. Never heard a word. Anyway, back to football and back to video calling with Mom. So now she's calling at all these inappropriate times and she knows I'm working. Watch her start to try to video call me in the middle of the day when I'm sleeping. Anyway. So I digress. I don't even know where I got on that. But videos. I sent Mom the link to our YouTube video, James, and she wanted to know how you were doing. And I said, well, just watch the video. You'll see how he's doing.
Just check out my goals. Well, check on me in a couple months and see how my goals are doing.
Oh, yes, that's right. Hold us accountable, Mom. So you can check out our YouTube channel, or the link is pinned to the top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also the top of our Facebook page. Named after the show, so is the YouTube channel named after the show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Did I already do this? Oh, we did. Okay, I did. I don't have to do it again. Great. Well, then we can move on to something that I have been dying to bring up for the last several hours. You know, I don't engage or indulge in the game of I told you so very often, but I cannot help it. I cannot help it. On this Monday night, following the Rams' overwhelming, lopsided, convincing win in the playoffs against their division rival, the Cardinals, I cannot help saying I told you so when I saw the first touchdown, and now again that I have your attention.
On the left hash, it's Stafford to the shotgun. Gets the shotgun snap, looking left, throwing left. OBJ left, got corner, leaping up, pulls it down, feet down, touchdown! Odell Beckham Jr., the jump ball, put six on the board, and the Rams take the early lead.
That's Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. You all know who OBJ is, right? You're all familiar with that being the acronym for Odell.
Too many letters. I already got AB. I don't need OBJ.
Producer James, I feel like people should be flocking to our social media now to say, I was wrong. Amy, you were right. I was wrong. Now, I don't remember. Did you take the over or the under on six touchdowns for Odell Beckham Jr. with the Rams?
I took the under. I got to say, I think I went with three was my total he was going to get. I didn't think he was going to be – I thought he was going to be in the offense, but I didn't think he was going to be as good as we've seen him be. He's a critical part of this offense when they're rolling. That's a fact.
He definitely is. Now six touchdowns with the Rams. That's the call on Westwood One, and I dare say they've still got at least another game. He could definitely go over. But how many of you blasted him? I mean, I was told that he was a cancer in the locker room. I was told that he would flame out. I was actually told that he would get hurt and he wouldn't play more than two games. And yet, he not only has six touchdown catches, they're drawing up trick plays for OBJ to throw the ball himself. So I'm going to assume, you know what, we'll just assume that those of you out there who remember the conversation about over under six touchdowns for OBJ, I'm just going to assume that you're sorry. Especially for those of you who told me I was an idiot or called me other names. I don't know, football, blah, 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 blah. No, he's talented. I get it. He can be volatile and his attitude sucks sometimes. And it's more about me than it is about team. At times, not always. But you know what he loves to do? He loves, loves, loves to score touchdowns. And the Rams love, love, love their toys. Sean McVay loves his toys. And so he convinced OBJ they had a role for him. And lo and behold, guy like Matthew Stafford throwing him the football. And all of a sudden, he is happy as a clam. And he's got six TDs. So, yeah, we'll just assume your apologies. It'll be fine. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It very quickly went from teetering on bad to way, way, way worse for Arizona.
Murray in shotgun. He's standing in the end zone. He's got three receivers right, one to his left. Third and seven at the Cardinals four, down 14-0 midway through the second quarter. Murray now is changing things up. The Rams seem to know what he's doing, so they elect to make some maneuvers. Shotgun snap, Murray from his end zone. Looking, pumps, in trouble, gets hit, throws the ball forward, and it's picked off, and it's a touchdown. He underhand threw the ball. David Long picks it off, walks in for a touchdown. What a disaster. My goodness, you can't make that mistake if you're Kyler Murray.
We have never seen Kyler Murray do something like that.
The call on Cardinals radio, Dave Pasch, with the play-by-play. If you weren't watching the Monday Night Mannings, their reaction is priceless. The noise that comes out of Eli Manning, something along the lines of, it's something like that. Peyton looked like he was going to upchuck on TV. I think Peyton turned gray. And so their reaction, I saw this play and then heard their reaction, and they had The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. They insisted on calling him Dwayne Johnson. I wonder if that was something they were contractually obligated to do. You can't call him The Rock. You can only call him Dwayne. Anyway, their reaction to this particular play probably echoed what football fans were doing all over the country. Kyler Murray is not an old QB, but he's got enough veteran experience to know that you do not just throw the ball up in the air, even if you're in danger of getting tackled in the end zone, 2 points on the board for your opponents. It's still better than seven. It's still better than a pick six. And he was nearly in the grasp and control. He was nearly down. He had no angle to throw. He just heaves it up in the air. And it gets picked off by David Long. And all he has to do is dive forward into the end zone. Brutal moment. And it turned into a spiral from there. Kyler's next drive, the Rams also picked him off. And actually, this is kind of crazy. You guys remember the play? We have a ball that goes through the hands of the Cardinals receiver. I don't remember who it was now. Goes through the hands of the Cardinals receiver into the breadbasket of the DB who was behind him for an interception and then bounces off that, actually kind of caroms off. This is what you get for having a six-pack, washboard abs, six-pack. Caroms off his midsection and the receiver is able to grab it back again for a catch. I'm going to have to go back and remember who they were. But yeah, it was just that kind of a day where nothing came easy for the Cardinals. So I think it was the next snap. He then throws an interception. So back-to-back drives with interceptions. And by the time they hit half, you can only imagine the relief to be able to get off the field. So here are the numbers for the first half alone. And yes, the game is essentially over at this point. Kyler himself had 28 yards. That was it. That was all of the passing output. 28 yards. Two interceptions. Two sacks. Von Miller, by the way, first postseason sacks in Super Bowl 50. So not just Matthew Stafford, but Von getting back into the playoffs. Total yards for Arizona in the first half. Now, it got better in the second quarter, I suppose, because in the first quarter, they had negative yardage. 40 yards. That's it. Total. Run and pass. That's all they managed was 40 yards against the Rams defense. They were 0-for-6 on third down, and Los Angeles was dominant in every way. The second half really continues more of the same, in case you're interested in highlights once they got out of the locker room.
Murray under center. Connor, the single back. Play action. Murray tries to dump it to Connor. It's deflected and intercepted. Picked by Marquise Copeland. And the big man. With the deflected pick at the 49 of the Rams. From the 49-yard line on first down. Rams with the single back. Stafford under center from the 49. Tosses to OBJ. He's going to throw. Floating out to the right side. Akers is there. He's got it at the 25. Akers inside the 20 and down at the 12-yard line. Jordan Hicks able to catch up with him. But Odell Beckham Jr. airing it out for 41 and a Rams first down. Second down from the 7. 6 yards for a first. Stafford throws right side. Cup with a fingertip grab, plucking it off the turf at the 1 and tumbling in for a Rams touchdown. Second touchdown pass of the night for Matthew Stafford, and 27-0. The Rams in complete control at home.
I think it was the early down efficiency. I thought our guys got great removal up front. I thought our backs saw the lanes the right way. I thought Matthew, when we did throw the football, made great decisions, threw the ball accurately, got a lot of different guys involved. And, you know, that's exactly what we want to be able to do. And that's where you can be tough to defend. Came out just with a great look in our eye. I thought the coaches put together a good game plan, but ultimately the players executed. And there was a lot of guys that contributed, and the defense was phenomenal.
The fast twitch response of one Sean McVay. He was fired up on the sidelines at SoFi Stadium, home of Super Bowl 56. And so that's just the beginning of the reaction. We'll get to hear from Matthew Stafford after his very first playoff win. Von Miller back in the postseason. Eric Weddle back on a football field for the first time in a couple of years. And then Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray about what went wrong. And J.J. Watt returning for this game. He does have a few tackles, but certainly not what he wanted to talk about following his return to the field. And then at the top of next hour, we'll head to Los Angeles, where our friend Michael Duarte was on the field for this game. And what a scene. What a party. So now the divisional games are set. It will be Rams at Bucks. Ooh, this is my favorite football weekend of the entire year. We have got the best of the best, the big dogs, if you will. So Green Bay and Tennessee will host on Saturday. Tampa Bay and Kansas City will host on Sunday. So you have the top two seeds from this season and then the two teams that went to the playoffs. I'm sorry, that went to the Super Bowl last year. Those are your four home teams of the upcoming weekend and the matchups. I don't know how you pick which one you're most looking forward to. Holy cow. It's going to be amazing. We're just getting started. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Oh, there's so much to do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The After Hours Podcast.
Murray with time. Pumps, pressures, collapsing, flips it out into the open field. It's intercepted. David Long Jr. scoops it up and takes it in for a pick six and a 20-0 Rams lead.
Prepare all week, off season, you know, to be where we are. And then, they get more competitive at all. So, it's disappointing that we didn't. Didn't make it a game, and come out and play the football we know we're capable of playing. That's really the most disappointing part. You know, losing is one thing, but when you don't even make it competitive, it's another thing. So, man, it's disappointing.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
You can hear the dejection in Kyler Murray's voice, and that might have felt like the low point, but it actually got worse from then. They were down three touchdowns at that point, but before they got on the board, it was already second half, and he'd been sacked twice and thrown two picks, and got to give credit to the Rams because each one of their individual units, whether it be the O-line or the defensive front or the secondary or the run game or the receivers, Matthew Stafford, they all played at a very high level and were able to exploit individual matchups as well as the team. And I've been waiting for a performance like this against a quality opponent with the Los Angeles Rams. I wondered about their inconsistency at times, and they've certainly struggled. Well, with the Niners specifically, those are the matchups that come to mind, but they'd struggled with teams that could bully them on the line. And so I was worried about them turning into a finesse team as opposed to a team that could go toe-to-toe with strength and physicality. I don't like that word. But being strong and physical and tough in the trenches. And tonight they showed me that they certainly could do that. But man, what a tough way for Kyler Murray to experience the playoffs for the very first time, and for Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach in the NFL.
You come out against a really good team and don't do anything right for the first two quarters, that's what's going to happen. I got to give them credit. They played a great game, and we didn't do much right coaching or playing the first half. Got to use this as motivation and come back stronger from it, because that's not indicative of who we want to be. And unfortunately, that showed up tonight. I think experience is a big part of it. You know, there's only one way to experience playoff football, and that's to go through it. And unfortunately, we didn't, you know, play our best game. And I thought LA played a great game, had a great plan, and outplayed us and outcoached us. But I think you just got to go through these moments and learn from it and grow from it and use it as motivation.
They played much, much better than we did. There's not a whole lot to say about it. They made more plays. They made less mistakes. And they executed extremely well, and we executed extremely poorly. They played very, very well, and we played very, very poorly.
I appreciate that J.J. Watt wears wins and losses, meaning he takes every one of them to heart. He revels in the big moments, but he also is devastated by every loss. And he comes back, hasn't played since week 7, if I remember correctly, has several tackles, was so excited to be out there. And whether they win or lose, that's one aspect of it. But to play so poorly and to never really give yourselves a chance, that's the other piece of this that the Cardinals have to revel in and stew in, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Kyler Murray makes his playoff debut, gets sacked a couple of times, has a couple of interceptions. The numbers are what the numbers are, but also this one sticks out. Only one red zone trip, and the Cardinals go 0-for-9 on third down.
Obviously, you know how I am. I put a lot on my shoulders, put a lot on myself. And, you know, for like I said, to dream of this moment and then, you know, be in the playoffs, first game of the playoffs, and then to play the way I did, to play the way we did, you know, it's like I said, it's disappointing.
So Kyler Murray will have to wait for his first playoff win. But Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, had made more career starts than any other NFL QB without being part of a postseason win, finally gets to stand at the podium in the playoffs knowing that his team is moving on.
I think it means a lot more to you guys and all that. I mean, I just want to be a part of this team and help us win. So I trust in myself, trust in my abilities, trust in my teammates. And I'll go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job leading the way. You know, he's still the same great player to me, and he always was before this game as well. And so I think it's good so you guys don't have to talk about that anymore so he can get that one out of the way. But really proud of him. Please, just so lucky to be able to do this with him. He's our leader. We wouldn't be here without him.
So you guys can stop talking about it as if. Please. This is what we love. Von Miller. I am so psyched for Von Miller to be back in the playoffs as someone who, and I still miss him in Broncos blue and orange, but as someone who has followed his career so closely, he's such an incredible athlete and makes a difference even when he doesn't come up with a play that ends up in the stat sheet. He's wreaking havoc all the time, and his motor, it never stops running.
I don't know
running.
Who the tackle is and I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him.
He has his first postseason sack since Super Bowl 50 and has on his own as well 6 tackles.
You know, I'm from Texas, you know, and I had to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity being back in the playoffs, man. I took 5 years off without making it, and I'm definitely appreciative of being here with this franchise, and I'm definitely appreciative of being in the playoffs as well.
So it dawns on me as we're watching this game. Now, this game wouldn't have been, it's hard to say it wouldn't have been affected. So let me backtrack just a little bit. I've seen the rumblings of, hey, there were a bunch of really bad games this weekend and there were a bunch of blowouts and this is just another one of those. And this concept of super wild card weekend, supersized wild card weekend is what I call it. Maybe it's too much. Now, you know, the NFL would like to actually expand to 8 teams per conference, which I think is a very bad idea. So here's how things would have been different. The Steelers would not have made the playoffs, right? So every single team in the AFC would have had double-figure wins. Titans and Chiefs, now this is under the old wild card format. Titans and Chiefs would have had the 2 byes. Bills would have played the Patriots. That would have stayed the same. The Bengals would have played the Raiders. So those 2 games we still would have had. We just wouldn't have had the blowout between Steelers and Chiefs. But Bills, Pats, Bengals, Raiders, and Cincinnati's victory over Las Vegas was close. It was good until the end. In the NFC, the Bucs and the Eagles would not have played this weekend, so the Eagles wouldn't have been in the playoffs. And again, every team from the NFC that made the postseason would have had double-figure wins. But we still would have had Cowboys, Niners, and Rams, Cardinals. So this idea that the expanded playoffs have led to a watered-down wildcard weekend, okay, well, you could take out these 2 games, the Bucs and Eagles, Steelers and Chiefs, and you would have had 2 games that you wouldn't have been able to sigh and roll your eyes at. But do you know this? On Sunday night, Chiefs and Steelers got nearly 23 million viewers. So as much as people want to complain about watered down wild card weekend, that game, because of Patrick Mahomes, because of the Chiefs' high profile, because of Ben Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh's great following, 23 million viewers. Even though it was scoreless into the second quarter, and the Steelers took the early lead on the TJ Watt touchdown. But yeah, that was still a game that had millions and millions of eyeballs. The NFL is a juggernaut, and as long as blowouts in the playoffs still get 23 million viewers, the league is not backpedaling. They're not trimming the playoff field. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. I mean, feel free to call if you would like to say how wrong you were about Odell Beckham Jr. not making an impact.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With the Rams, I'll wait.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Receivers go left, including Tony Pollard. It's a designed run for Dak Prescott. 30, 25, gets hit from behind by Azeez Alshire. They got to get up and clock the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2. Dak, will he get it off in time?
No.
With 1 second to go, did he spike the ball in time or
no,
not?
No, he did not.
He did not. The 49ers have won the game. What do you got, Alex Kemp? Did he spike it in time? 49ers heard Jimmy Ward's got his helmet off, ready to celebrate. Alex Kemp, is the game over? Checking with his crew here.
Prescott says we got one more play.
That's the end of the game.
Game is over. The 49ers have won.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Papa and crew on Niners Radio, and it was a very high-profile, controversial moment. Not because the officials did it wrong, although there were a few people out there who were blaming the umpire for not getting to the line quicker, but as Boomer Esiason pointed out to me, I spoke to him on Monday because I wanted to get his opinion of this last run play with Dak Prescott and the way the clock expired. And he said, you got to remember that the umpire is a 55-year-old man. So after Dak Prescott runs 17 yards, the umpire, who was already 10 yards behind the play, has to sprint those 10 yards and then the 17 yards behind Dak to get up to the line, had to try to fight his way through the big butts of the offensive lineman, which I had pointed out on last night's show, and then has to move the ball backward because the spot was too far forward. He was doing the best he could, but he couldn't have gone any faster. He's not Dak Prescott. He's a 55-year-old man, which I don't know if that's actually his age, but a lot of these officials are a little bit older and certainly not world-class athletes. So that was the call from the Niners' perspective. And yes, it was still probably the number one topic of conversation around the NFL on Monday. Even the commissioner was weighing in on how the Niners and Cowboys game ended. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Next hour, we'll head to Los Angeles and get the insider's view and perspective of a playoff win at SoFi Stadium, Matthew Stafford's first as an NFL quarterback. So Michael Duarte will join us next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. In the meantime, A-Law Radio on Twitter or on our Facebook page. I actually think that it's an interesting debate because the Cowboys' season did not result in another playoff win. Obviously not going to end up in the Super Bowl for the first time since the mid-90s. And I have heard everyone and his brother blamed for what happened against the Niners. So I'd like to hear from you. Specifically, I almost want to put up a poll. Who do you blame for the Cowboys' failure against the Niners? And we had talked about it with Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network when she joined us. But the theories range from Mike McCarthy to Kellen Moore to Dak Prescott to the officials, for sure, to the offense and the inability to run the ball. Who do you blame? I would like to know who you blame. 855-212-4227. This was super cool. Our guest from last week, Steve Wyche, who is a longtime NFL host and reporter, sat down one-on-one in studio in the shadow of SoFi Stadium on Monday because Roger Goodell went from Dallas to L.A. from Monday night's game. He caught up with the commissioner and did a 6 to 7 minute interview. I'm sure they edited it down, but had a chance to sit there with the commissioner and pick his brain about a variety of topics impacting the NFL. And wouldn't you know, Steve asked him about the end of the Cowboys-Niners game and how the officials handled it.
That's exactly how our officials are taught. That's the mechanic that they use. And it's all officiating is all about mechanics and consistency there. And, you know, I spoke to our officiating department because I was there at the game, and they feel that that was handled exactly the way we teach it.
And so he sounds very calm. Now, he's paid a lot of money to sound very calm and deflect any type of stress, but he said that that's exactly the way the officials are trained. They've got no problem with it. And honestly, no one who played in the NFL or who coached in the NFL that I've either seen on social media or talked to personally, no one has a problem with what the officials did. Now, could the umpire have ran faster? Maybe, but that's on the Cowboys. It's not on the umpire. It's not on the officials. They need to follow protocol, if you will. Dak did not. And because of that, it cost his team precious seconds. But the problem was even before that. The problem was with him not getting down, sliding before 17 yards. He didn't need to go 17 yards. He could have gone 10 yards, 12 yards. They clearly had one play, maybe two, designed to take shots at the end zone. He was trying to get as many yards as he could, and he waited until the defense got close to him. Maybe he goes 10 yards, 12 yards. So when he pops up, they have 10 seconds. Maybe those 2 seconds mean they can take a shot at the end zone. I actually thought it was interesting to hear Dan Orlovsky's reaction. Now, you know Dan. He's a longtime Lions quarterback and spent more than a decade in the league and great at breaking down tape. He was so fired up about the end of this game. He said, this is on Dak. He placed it at the quarterback's feet, recognizing that the quarterback should have sought out the umpire, given him the football to save time, but also that he went too far. That he took too many seconds off the clock with his draw, with his run play. What he said is that Dak should have known better than to spike the ball. Instead, they should have gone directly to another snap. Because once you snap the ball and it's in play, the clock can run out, but it's a live ball. So if he had taken a snap, maybe it's with 1 second left, taken a snap, maybe they could have gotten a quality look at the end zone. Instead of attempting to spike it, he should have just taken a snap and gone forward with the next play, whatever it was. And Dan called that 911. Dak should have been rushing up, watching the clock going back, not rushing up, but getting everybody lined up, screaming 911, 911, 911, meaning we've got to adjust. We don't have time to spike it. We're going directly into our next play. Interesting stuff. The reaction from inside the NFL fraternity I thought was fascinating because there are a lot of different opinions. But I will tell you, most of the NFL players that I saw on social or heard from directly had no problem with the play itself. They didn't have any problem with Dak Prescott running up the middle. They had a problem with how it was executed. They had a problem with him screwing up and essentially taking the umpire out of the equation. They had a problem with clock management, not with the play call. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And then again, on Twitter and Facebook, we're happy to have you all of the time. And we'll get more from Roger Goodell with Steve Wyche because he also talked about this brand new format where there are 18 weeks and 17 games. And then the idea of the 8 head coaching jobs that are now available and how to increase minority presence in not just the head coaching jobs, but also coordinators and general manager positions. So good exchange with Steve Wyche. And so it's awesome to be able to watch the whole conversation, but I'm glad that we have the opportunity to cut up some of that audio and use it here on the show. Let's talk to Chaz, who's in Fort Worth. You got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted you to know that the referees determined that game. If you're a referee, you cannot make the determination on who's going to win the game. And that's basically what it came down to. If they would allow them to play one more play, then the Cowboys, you know, may have had a chance. But the referees basically ended the game. They made the Cowboys lose. They had the choice. They had the option to let more time on that.
No,
clock.
They didn't. That why would you put more seconds on the clock? That's rigging a game. They don't have the option. The clock ran out. They're not controlling the clock. The clock has time on it, and when it runs out, you're done.
True, but the referees determined that the time ran out because they took the time.
No, I saw the time ran out. You saw the time ran out. Everybody watching the game saw that the time ran out.
Well, let me ask you this. If a referee can determine the outcome of a game by saying the time ran out.
No, the clock runs out. The referee does not control the clock. The clock has time on it, and it ran out.
Yes. That is true. The referee does control the clock because they can call a timeout and adjust the clock. They've done that in several games.
That's only based on replay when the clock should have stopped and did not. In this particular sequence, why would the clock have stopped?
They should have done a replay and realized.
No, they shouldn't have. The referee and the crew did absolutely nothing wrong. As we just heard from the commissioner, they handled it exactly the way they're supposed to. That's why the Cowboys aren't blaming the referees for this. Not to mention, the Cowboys had 14 penalty flags. What were there? 7 pre-snap penalties? Oh my gosh, that's why I'm laughing. And anyone who tells me that this is on the officials. No, this is on the Cowboys, pure and simple. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.